K-State played two fantastic ball games last year. Both teams kind of struggling this season to live up to the high expectations. We have a special guest to break down this game next. It's Locked On.
You are Locked On Horned Frogs, your daily podcast on the TCU Horned Frogs, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That's right, Locked On Horned Frogs, and kind of a special crossover edition tonight. So you're hearing this in the Locked On Horned Frogs feed. Also, if you listen to the Purple Project podcast, you are listening to a preview of the TCU-Kansas State game. If you're watching on YouTube, in the box next to me is Eddie Greer. You can find him on Twitter, at Eddie_EG3. And he covers Kansas State. He's a Kansas State alum, covers the team really well. So, Eddie, last week, I'm watching this Texas Tech-Kansas State game, and all of a sudden I see this long-haired man running all up and down the Texas Tech defense. I know Avery Johnson was maybe the most hyped recruit in Kansas State history, but what's the quarterback situation like right now? Do you expect Will Howard to start, and how do you think they'll use Avery Johnson moving forward?
Yeah, Steven, that's been the big question. Even my co-host Alex Aiden on the Pro Project podcast, we talked about early this week about how this Avery Johnson's play last week affects this week's matchup with TCU. That's a huge question around Manhattan right now. Will Howard start or will Avery start? Look, like I said, Alex, on the episode, I have no idea what's going to happen, who's going to try on that field on Saturday night. It could be Will Howard or Avery Johnson. Look, I feel bad for Will Howard because he's been through so much in his K-State career, right? Having to battle through the whole COVID situation and then, of course, having to back up Adrian Martinez before he had to come in to replace Adrian Martinez last year. And he just took over, right? And then I find that fitting enough. Last week, Avery Johnson comes into the game and he catches fire as well as the same exact time frame as Will Howard caught fire last year around the Oklahoma State game here in Manhattan. So, Steven, if I had a crystal ball, I would still struggle with that answer. But I got a feeling Will Howard will start this game because he's been through it all. He gave K-State, led K-State to a Big 12 title last year against your Horned Frogs. So, man, it's going to be interesting to see how it unfolds.
Yeah, I saw Chris Kleiman said after that game, he was like, you know, Texas Tech was giving us the quarterback run game, and yeah. So, you know, we took advantage of that and rolled with it. How different does the offense look with Johnson in the game? Because I know he threw 9 passes. It was 8 of 9, so it's not like he can't do something with his arm, but it really felt right. Like, you know, they were running the ball, a lot of kind of, you know, straightforward, we're coming right at you. Using his speed once he got the ball game.
Well, Avery obviously brings that, and obviously he has some good – he uses legs in the run game pretty well as well. He's got quick bursts. Every time Texas Tech tried to put 9, 10 in the box, he will still find a little crease, and boom, he'll take off running. So – Avery Johnson, the combination with Avery Johnson and Treshawn Ward, who also had a good game last week as well, I really like that combination because Texas Tech, they didn't have an answer to stop it. And Colin Klein, the offensive corner for K-State, just kept on feeding Treshawn Ward. And when Texas Tech tried to really load the box and Avery Johnson used his athleticness to find that hole and score 5 touchdowns to tie Colin Klein's rushing record there. So, look, Will Howard on the other side, he doesn't have the playmakers on the outside right now. The wide receiver position, again, on my podcast, it's been 2-3 years we've gone over the wide receiver position, and the wide receivers this year, especially after the Missouri game, have not played particularly very well. So, and that's probably part of the reason why the coaches went to Avery, because we want to put him in the game more. I know the fans here in Manhattan want to see him play a little bit more, so Avery's arm and his legs can really confuse a Big 12 defense.
Yeah, so the wide receivers, because I mean, I had high expectations for Phillip Brooks. I think this is his sixth year, you know, playing college football. I mean, I know they brought in some transfers too. From your perspective, why does that not really click, at least to, you know, what you guys were expecting going into this?
If I had 100% answer, it can be multiple things, but obviously I go back to Oklahoma State where the receivers struggle to get open. And the biggest thing right now is these guys, well, I'll probably put Phillip Brooks as the consistent, one of the top consistent receivers on this team right now. Obviously, if we take Ben Sinnott away, who's obviously our top target, we don't have anybody to throw the ball to. So Phillip Brooks, yeah, he got a chewing after the Oklahoma State game about half running a route, what he did at Stillwater. But the Keaton Johnson, that's been a mystery to me. All the hype here in Manhattan, he's going to be that next deep threat, that next Tyler Lockett. He just hasn't been that, trying to still recover from a toe injury that he suffered in the spring. He just hasn't been the same. So James Jackson, who was effective earlier in the season, he's disappeared. R.J. Garcia, kind of put him in the same category as Keaton Johnson. All this hype for the last 2 years, we haven't really seen much of him. Well, if you take away the catch he had in the Big 12 title game against TCU last year, he hasn't really done much for us. So, yeah, the last 2 years, it's been a disappointment. You don't have the reliable third down option like we had Cade Warner last year. Blake Knowles finally stepped up in his own in his final year here at K-State. But right now, K-State, they're searching for that deep threat. Obviously, we had Jace Brown came in the game last weekend. A lot of fans here in Manhattan want to see Trey Spivey on the field more as well. Avery and Trey had a nice little connection early on in the game, early on in the season. So we'll have to see how this wide receivers episode plays out the rest of the year.
You mentioned Trayshawn Ward earlier. I mean, replacing Deuce Vaughn is a tall task. But they've had success in the run game, Eddie. What has Ward brought to the table, and how have they kind of at least attempted to replace such a diamond player?
It's not Trayshawn. It's not just Trayshawn Ward. It's DJ Giddens as well with his power. Going back to Tech game last week, Trayshawn Ward by far, Stephen had his best game of the, as a K-State Wildcat. 118 yards on 15 carries, and somehow didn't score a touchdown. Obviously, Avery scored all the touchdowns on the ground, but Trayshawn Ward looked really good last week. I'm interested to see how he can carry that momentum into this TCU game on Saturday. DJ Giddens had his outcoming party against UCF with his big day of four TDs himself. So it's been kind of what Chris Klieman talked about, the quarterback situation here. We want to go with the hot hand. So DJ Giddens back at UCF, well, because of Trayshawn Ward being out with an injury, DJ Giddens had to carry all the workload. So it was him, and then, of course, DJ Giddens kind of struggled at Tech. There was that burst of speed, so they put Trayshawn Ward in, and he had that burst like I expect him to. So again, I think they're trying to these offensive coordinators are trying to have the power and speed balance in the backfield.
Yeah. So Eddie, talking about the defense for a minute, it feels like this is the K-State defense, and as you're laughing there, it feels like they're kind of growing as the year goes on, maybe, or trying to figure things out as the year goes on. Is this pass defense as susceptible as it looks like on the stat sheet, or are those numbers deceiving? What's been kind of the issues with the back end of that defense this season?
We knew going into the season, Stephen, that the secondary was going to be a question mark. And me and Alex on the Pro Project podcast, I talked about that before the season started. Obviously, Kobe Salvage coming back from his injury last year, you knew he was going to be back there. VJ Payne's a sophomore. You have Keenan Gardner, who was a wide receiver, transition to the defensive back room last year at the TCU game, which we didn't know what number he was. Now he's back to his number one. You have, let's see, Jacob Parrish. He's been on and off at times as well, a little inconsistent, but the issue with this back end of the secondary is too many big plays, and particularly on third down. UCF, for example, I was at the game, right? And there were a couple of big third down and long plays, and they let UCF convert those. That's not – you have to get them off the field in that particular time. So we've seen on multiple fronts this year. This secondary get lit up for big plays. Missouri with Luther Burton tore us up there as well. So it's been the big plays has really hurt K-State this year. And Klanman, our defensive coordinator, is going to have to figure some things out. And obviously, we've been hit with the injury bug as well. But we knew going in that the back end of the defense was going to be the struggle for this team this year. And we'll see what dominoes play out as we move forward, especially with this TCU game. But yeah, they're even though 480 yards against a third string quarterback at Tech last week, they still are able to get turnovers. And that was another thing too, Steven, going into that game, is not creating enough turnovers. They finally were able to get them some and turn those into points.
Yeah. When we come back, we'll talk. Well, Eddie will fire some questions to me. We're going to get the DC perspective on this matchup. Let's come back next year on Lockdown Horn Frogs. Let's take a second to talk about BetterHelp. This show was sponsored by BetterHelp. Have you ever had a time in your life where you felt like you knew what you needed to do, but your brain was getting in the way? I've dealt with anxiety for a long time, and it can be brutal. When you're trying to fall asleep at night, your thoughts are just racing. You know what you should do. You know what's good for you, but you can't just can't do it. Therapy helps you figure out what's holding you back so you can work for yourself instead of working against yourself. I told you guys this before. I benefit from therapy in my own life personally, and then my wife and I, we adopted our oldest two children, and we have benefited greatly from counseling and therapy as a family with them as well, learning how to communicate with them better, learning the best ways to just give them the best chance to succeed. And so therapy is a huge help in that. It's a great thing that you can do. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's all online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. All you have to do is fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Make your brain your friend with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/LockedOnCollege today to get 10% off your first month. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/LockedOnCollege. FanDuel, NFL season going on right now. Saints-Jags is going on as me and Eddie are recording this. You can get up to $200 in bonus bets guaranteed if you just place a $5 bet down. How do you do that? You go to FanDuel.com/lockdown. Again, all you have to do is place a $5 bet down. $200 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's free money. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get on the action. They also have an app that's super easy to use with a wide range of betting options. Spreads, player props, over-unders, and more. If you've been wondering how to get involved in the sports betting world, this is the best place to do it. FanDuel.com/LockedOn. FanDuel, they include money lines, props, etc. Go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn and take advantage of that bonus bet deal today. All right, Eddie, fire away. What do you want to know about the TCU Horned Frogs heading into Saturday night?
All right, Steven. I kind of want to rewind all the way back to the beginning of the year. You guys were ranked into the top 25, 17th in the country, coming off of a BCS appearance in the national championship game, and preseason ranked 5th going into the year. Steven, going into the year, what were your expectations for this team? Obviously, you know, the unfortunate blowout loss against Georgia. What were your thoughts going into this year under Sonny Dykes?
Well, I thought they'd be better than this. I guess that's a short answer. I felt like they would be a team that my season prediction before the year, Eddie, was 9-3. So I thought they could, you know, they weren't going to do what they did last year where they just won out in the regular season, made the college football playoff. I didn't know if 9-3 would get you the Big 12 championship game, but I really thought those first 7 games, they could go 6-1 or 7-0. Of course, they sit here at 4-3 as they head to Manhattan to take on Kansas State, so that's much different. They got beat by Coach Prime in Colorado to start the season, which wasn't, I think, what they had in mind. And that loss kind of looks worse and worse by the week as that Colorado team sort of faded as the year's gone on. But weirdly, like that game, the defense really struggled. Since then, it's been the offense that has had issues. Chandler Morris, who took over from Max Duggan, struggled at times this year. You know, they had a 2-week stretch against West Virginia and Iowa State where they just could not find a way to get points on the board. They were turning the ball over. They were having a lot of three and outs. And so they made the change to Josh Hoover last week. That worked really well against BYU. We'll see how that continues. But it's going to be fascinating how this plays out now because, as I said, like, I thought they've already gone through kind of the easier part of their schedule, at least on paper. Now you hit the gauntlet with K-State on the road and Texas Tech and Texas and Oklahoma, and you got a new QB for the foreseeable future. So I think getting to a bowl game would be a great thing for this team. If you get anything more than that, then it's kind of gravy, I guess. But, yeah, I thought they'd be better than this. I felt like they would take a step back, but not to the state that they have been, even though they did look better last week at BYU.
TCU coming into Manhattan on Saturday night, 4-3 overall and 2-2 right now in the Big 12. You mentioned Josh Hoover, your freshman quarterback there, who started made a start against BYU and dismantled BYU by that final score there, 44-11 there last week. This will be his first road test against a hostile environment crowd here in Manhattan, Kansas. How do you think Josh Hoover, Stephen, is approaching this game?
I mean, from a preparation standpoint, he seems to get it. Now, he's a human being, and it's going to be a tough environment. Like, the fans there are great. They're going to get into it. It's a night game, I'm sure. Atmosphere is going to be pretty hostile. But just listening to him talk, Eddie, I mean, I think he understands what he has to do, at least to be ready to play. Now, executing it is going to be tough. If you told me before the game last week that he was going to throw the ball 58 times against BYU, I don't really know what I would have thought about that. I mean, I think I just would have been like, okay, that's kind of crazy. That sounds like an insane stat line for somebody who made his first, you know, his collegiate debut. But they did kind of made it easy on him in the fact that it was a lot of quick game stuff. It was a lot of, you know, screens, slants, drag routes, those types of things, where he was getting the ball out fast. And I got to see Josh twice in high school play. And at Rockwell Heath, which is in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, this is kind of what he did. Like, I know it's a totally different level of football, but they spread people out and they threw the ball all over the place. So I think it's something that he's comfortable doing. Now, if they're going to be Kansas State, then Imani Bailey is going to have to run the ball well. I think that's going to have to be a huge part of their game plan. But, you know, we'll see. I think that it's certainly possible that he could just melt down, you know, under the lights in an environment like that. But I feel like from a preparation standpoint, he's going to be as prepared as he possibly can be, you know, from film study and kind of knowing the playbook going into the ballgame.
Now, focusing kind of on the wide receivers on your end, who's caught your eye so far this year after seven games for TCU on the receiver side? And can one of those TCU playmakers step up for a freshman quarterback?
Man, that's a great question. The receiving room has kind of been a revolving door, and some of that's just been because of injuries. Sonny Dykes has kind of lamented at times this year that they haven't had the same core group of guys in practice week in and week out. Players just haven't been available. J.P. Richardson, transfer from Oklahoma State, has been really great, you know, and he's fully healthy now and rolling. Savion Williams, who was a big part of the team last year, I feel like he's finally starting to come on and make some plays. And then two other guys that have sort of been inconsistent but could make some noise, Daylon Wright, transfer from Minnesota, and then Jalen Robinson, who's been just about everywhere in college. I think this is his fourth school, but he came over from Ole Miss and had a big season at UCF a few years back. Those are the names to know. But I think if you're looking for one guy who throughout the season has been really good, it's been J.K. Richardson. He plays in the slot. He's tough to bring down. He makes tough catches, and yeah, he's been there every week, regardless if he's playing quarterback and whatever the situation is. He continues to make big plays for the one throw.
And now flipping the coin over to the defensive side, when K-State and TCU get together, it seems to be a physical battle between the two schools, kind of like it's kind of become a rivalry in some sorts there. Last year, being the first meeting in Fort Worth, the TCU defense being really physical with K-State offensively, and then the obviously the Big 12 championship game, it was just an all-out battle, right? So what's been your positive and negative from a TCU defense that was pretty stout last year? What's been your thoughts so far after seven games of this year's TCU defense?
Yeah, I mentioned the Colorado game earlier, where they really struggled, and it was a lot of big plays. Since then, they played well. I think from a positive standpoint, they got Josh Newton back in the secondary, one of their corners. They brought in Avery Helm from Florida, and he's done a really nice job. And then pretty much all their safeties are back. So their experience there, they've done a nice job since that season opener, kind of slowing down the passing game. You know, their front seven is gotten better as the year's gone on as well. Chad Banks at linebacker is a name to know. Their defensive line doesn't get – I mean, well, I say this. I think they lead the Big 12 in, like, at least average sack per game. But they didn't always get to the quarterback or get home at least, but they create pressure. They're really good against the run. Now, what I'm curious about is I feel like in the Big 12 championship game, Chris Kleiman and his staff had a lot of success with the misdirection and the run game, you know, kind of moving the backs around, a lot of counters, pulling linemen, you know, basically deceiving TCU, making their eyes kind of fool them. And so I wonder how they handle that, especially if Avery Johnson is to be a big part of the game plan. But this defense has been really consistent the last 6 weeks. So, I mean, I think they have the ability to stand up to just about anyone, you know, the way they're playing right now. They've been really solid since that kind of disaster throughout the season.
Yeah, it's going to be quite the battle under lights at Bill Snyder Family Stadium Saturday night. I'm looking forward to it.
I am too. We'll do keys to the game. Eddie, get your prediction ready. and we'll do that next. It's Locked On Horned Frogs, your team. All right, I want to talk to you about Bird Dogs. Bird Dogs, they're the most comfortable shorts ever. I was kind of skeptical when they were like, "Hey, we're gonna send you some product." I was like, "Man, these khaki shorts, they look really short. I don't know if it's the style, but as soon as I put them on, I love them. They stretch and they fit. They, you know, they kind of give you a slimmer look. They give you a sculpted look, and they just fit great. You can wear them just about anywhere. You know, they look kind of formal, so you can get away with wearing them to work like I have before, or you can just wear it around the house, hanging out with the kids, playing outside, whatever it is. They have anti-sweat wicking fabric, which is cool and dry all day long. They're functional for any occasion, and you get a free water bottle with your purchase. If you go to birddogs.com/lockdown, free water bottle. If you go to birddogs.com/lockdown at checkout. They have great products. They'll ship to you quickly. Bird Dogs, you can wear them anywhere. Make it your choice today. That's birddogs.com/lockdown. All right, Eddie, we'll do predictions here in a second. But first, what are your keys to the game? If K-State's going to come out with a victory on Saturday night, what do they have to do?
Offensively, they need to establish a rhythm early. I said last week on Pro Project Podcast, they need to start off fast. And they did that in Lubbock, right? So this game, particular game on Saturday night, they need to find a rhythm quickly. If they don't, I think they're going to struggle against that TCU defense. I think whoever starts, whether that's Will Howard first or Avery Johnson first, they need to establish a rhythm right off the bat, try to score first on their offensive possession, and get that mojo, keep that mojo going from Lubbock last week. Defense, they have to frustrate Hoover, the quarterback. Find a way to get put more pressure on them. Be more creative in your defensive scheme. Joe Klineman, defensive coordinator for K-State. Find a way. Obviously, the crowd's going to be hyped up, obviously. It's a night game on the lights at Bill Snyder Family Stadium. It's going to be one of the more intimidating places in the Big 12. So use that to your advantage. Keep the crowd in the game. I think defensively for K-State, they need to mix up their pressures, make Josh Hoover uncomfortable a little bit, and really slow down the TCU run game also as well. So if K-State's going to walk out of Bill Snyder Family Stadium at home with another win, they need to do those things.
Yeah, on the TCU side of it, I think they have to limit turnovers. You know, you talked about the fact they were able to force so many picks against State, that is, against Texas Tech, against a young quarterback. So Josh Hoover's got to protect the football. Need to run the ball. And I think that's a huge key, just to take some pressure off, know, the offense and allow them to work well. And then the final thing I'll say is, you know, defensively, regardless of who's playing quarterback, got to find a way to put K-State in third and long, force them to throw the ball, force these receivers to make plays, and use that strong secondary. try to win a ball game. Okay, Eddie, you can give me a score. You don't have to, though. You can just say who you think wins. Who do you got on Saturday between these two teams?
I got to roll with the Cats on this one. Final score, I'm going to go ahead and say K-State 31, TCU 20. Guess what?
All right. As I said last week, I feel like I'm a realist. My wife says that's what pessimists call themselves. But that being said, I don't know exactly how it's going to happen. It's a tough matchup. I liked what Josh Hoover brought to the table, though. I think if the defense can keep them in it, the Frogs can pull this off. TCU gets an upset in Manhattan. I think K-State's 6.5-point favorites in this one.
Yep.
I'll take TCU by a field goal, maybe 31-28 late in that ball game. But either way, it should be fun. Eddie, thank you for doing this again. It's Eddie Greer. You can find him at Eddie_EG3 on Twitter or X or whatever they call it now. And please subscribe to that podcast. It's the Purple Project Pod, right, Eddie?
Yep, the Purple Project Podcast, all things Kansas State sports.
So any K-State people watching or listening, subscribe to that podcast. These few people, go ahead and do it too. So, you know, you don't have to listen every day. You should subscribe. Hopefully these two teams meet again. They definitely will next year, maybe down the line. Maybe we'll see a surprise Big 12 championship matchup once again. This has been Locked on Horned Frogs, Project Prod, Crossover Edition. It's your team every day.